Governor Tony Evers is pushing to change marijuana laws in his state budget proposal. He argues legalizing medical marijuana will help Wisconsinites with chronic pain and other debilitating medical conditions. He also wants to decriminalize the possession of small amounts of recreational marijuana and expunge some criminal convictions related to pot. Doing so, he says, will help address the state's racial disparities when it comes to incarceration. 16 counties, including Clark and Eau Claire, passed advisory referendums last November in favor of legalizing marijuana. Legislators from western Wisconsin on both sides of the aisle have expressed support for legalizing medical marijuana and CBD products. Some, though, are leery of legalizing it for recreational purposes and medical, for that matter. Opponents cite public safety and health concerns and the fear of sending a pro-drug message to children. Even if Governor Evers' proposal doesn't pass, legislators are working on their own marijuana legalization measures. 33 other states have legalized medical marijuana and 10 have legalized recreational marijuana. So today on the West Side, three guests join me to consider the question, what would change in state marijuana laws? What would changes in state marijuana laws mean for our region, Western Wisconsin? Thank you for tuning in this Monday morning on the Ideas Network stations, Ideas 88.3 and 88.7 right here in Western Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer. Allow me to introduce my guests today. They are Ron Kramer. He's with me in the studio. He is the Eau Claire County Sheriff. His office directs the Wisconsin West Central Drug Task Force, which coordinates the enforcement of drug laws in six counties in our region. Sheriff Kramer, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you, Rich, for having me here this morning.
Good to have you. Thanks so much. And joining us by phone, we've got Larry Konopacki. He represents the Wisconsin Hemp Alliance. WHA focuses on encouraging the growth of the hemp industry in the state and at the federal level. Their focus is industrial, non-psychoactive hemp. That is, hemp cannot get you high. They are pushing for multiple uses of these products. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And then finally, we've got Jay Seltofner. He is the founder and board member for the Northern Wisconsin chapter of NORML. That stands for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He joins by phone as well. Jay Seltofner, welcome to the West Side.
Thanks for having me.
That's our pleasure. Phone lines are open for our listeners. Give us a call and share your thoughts and your reactions to Governor Tony Evers' proposal on marijuana and CBD. Do you have questions about how, you know, marijuana laws versus hemp laws? We can talk about that, too. Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. There have been a lot of changes proposed and, introduced federally and at the state levels all around the Midwest. So a lot to talk about here. 1-800-228-5615. So first off, I want to give the guests a chance to kind of give a little bit of background about how they became interested in these different fields and what their roles are. So first, let me go to Larry Konopacki. Tell us about the Wisconsin Hemp Alliance and what your goal is as an organization.
Sure, thank you. I used to work for the state legislature and was involved in the creation of the legislation that led to the first hemp farming season in Wisconsin since the 50s. And I then moved into private practice and really sort of had this a little bit in my blood. It's a very interesting legal question, but more so it's something that could provide another tool to help struggling farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I stuck with it and formed the Hemp Alliance. And I do have some, I'm a private attorney in Madison. I do have some clients who are growers, clients who are retailers and processors in this industry, and it's very complicated, and hopefully we can get into some of those complications today because it's very interesting and we have a lot of challenges ahead of us. The Hemp Alliance is an organization that's it's intended to collect, really, from my perspective, collect the experiences and the challenges of the people that are entering this new industry, this new old industry, and try to help to create good policy solutions in the legislature and at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, or DACAP, and try to help to advocate for good common sense solutions to issues that arise along the way, including those that are felt and have to be addressed by law enforcement and others. And so it's been an interesting year, I can tell you that.
It has been, and there was a lot of interest at county meetings when the different ag agents from around the region started talking about the, this was when the state law was changed, I think of it like for the third time, and when in hemp farming really became a possibility, there was a lot of interest. And I ran into an old timer who used to grow it like crazy back in the 40s and the 50s. So a lot to talk about. We'll get to that in just a bit. Jay Selthoffner, tell us a little bit about Normal and the Northern Wisconsin chapter. I mean, what's your goal? And, you know, what are you hoping to accomplish in, say, this state budget, you know, biennium?
Yeah, Normal is one of the oldest advocacy organizations. We're going to be celebrating our 50th year as a national organization that advocates for basically either the repeal or the reform of marijuana laws. Northern Wisconsin is a unique situation because we border with Michigan. I've been involved with the Normal organization for a decade now. I got involved in Wisconsin originally as I watched a family member, you know, die of a debilitating disease, which we saw medical marijuana would have definitely helped his end of life. But anyways, that got me active, and then being on a border state or a state, and especially with the Upper Peninsula, went legal or medical in 2008 and now recreational. We really work as a public education firm, a grassroots organization, in order to empower field activists to have the knowledge, tools, equipment to talk to their local and state elected officials, hopefully to provide enough information to move the support sufficient enough that our lawmakers will change the laws.
And Sheriff Ron Kramer, tell us a little bit about what got you into law enforcement, I guess, and also the department's role with the West Central Drug Task Force.
Yeah, Rich, I worked for 6 years working undercover for the West Central Drug Task Force. So I was the field operations supervisor for the unit. And many times sitting down with individuals, we asked them, how did you get started? What took you down this road? Was it alcohol? Was it marijuana? Variety of questions would come up. A lot of the people started with marijuana, and we always said, well, it may have been a gateway drug along with alcohol. We know that nicotine and we know that caffeine, people return to it. I can drive by Starbucks and see that the caffeine folks in the morning got to have her.
Yeah.
Same with marijuana. And our concern is obviously the social effects of using it. I've learned a lot more recently. I went out to a local hemp grower this last spring and learned a little bit about the operation. And I was glad to hear Larry's comment that he's helping people navigate the new law. Law enforcement has nothing to do with hemp. The regulation, debt cap, certainly has it. But from our information, I want to get as much information as I can. I sit on the legislative committee for the Badger Sheriff's Organization, and we really do have some concerns about, you know, if someone says, well, I just got done smoking hemp and I'm driving a car, but they deviated, was it hemp or was it marijuana? Are they under the influence? And we're looking at the experience of Colorado, Washington, and so forth. So again, we're all, I think, in the learning phase of, and even on Eau Claire County, we've really decriminalized marijuana because we'll write you an ordinance ticket for anything under 21 grams, and there are a lot of counties that do that also. It's an ordinance ticket, but recently the city of Eau Claire said, well, we're going to change the ordinance to $1. They didn't talk about the court costs, which was really $139.
Sure.
So are we sending the wrong signal to younger people?
And we're going to get into all of that. I want to remind listeners that you can join in the conversation by calling 800-228-5615. We've got open phone lines right now. Let us know what you think about Governor Tony Evers' proposal to legalize medical marijuana and decriminalize small amounts of marijuana if you're caught, and that's recreational, of course. 1-800-228-5615. There's also the issue of expungement for prior convictions that we'll bring up. So I want to kind of get a grasp on what current law is, and I'll go round robin, but Sheriff, I'll start with you. Under current law, what happens if a person gets caught with marijuana? You mentioned that it's just a citation, but wasn't there a mandatory hold at some point that was required if someone gets caught with marijuana, or no?
No. We're citing the person. We used to call it catch and release, and now it's, you know, book and release or whatever, but we just order them into court because we're trying to get reduce a number of bookings in our jail. We don't need to be holding people for possession amounts. And I think that's catching on throughout the state. The ordinance violation, you get ordered into court, and we have deferred prosecution through our DA's office if someone wants to take a program and not have that on their record. And there's the possession of marijuana, which is a state statute. Not many people in our county get convicted of just a state statute possession, because if they plead not guilty and ask for a pretrial, a lot of times those are changed to an ordinance violation. Our drug unit doesn't look at possession of marijuana. We're not looking on the street for the user, but we have three major music festivals that we will cite people if they're found to be in possession, and we'll probably escort them out of the festival for that day, as we would an underage juvenile drinking. We work very few marijuana cases. Our goal right now in this state is opioids, methamphetamine, and the things that are causing major social issue in our communities.
But if a person is caught with marijuana, what is the penalty? I mean, we talk about the city, the ordinance, but it's a state. Is it a misdemeanor? How does that work?
Well, first the offense would be a misdemeanor, and the second offense could be charged as a felony, but that's the prosecution, for the DA's charging, but they may just go back to that first offense and charge them with a fine. We don't want to see jail time on first offense. And when Governor Evers made the statement about racial economic inequality, we send well over 100 people annually to the prison system, but we haven't sent anybody for manufacturing marijuana to prison in our Wisconsin prison system out of Eau Claire County.
All right. And Eau Claire is unique in that it's got this drug court, multiple, I think, drug courts, right?
We do. We've got a number of drug courts. Nationally, drug courts are only about 15-16% effective, but we're still trying to go through and trying to get some of the people out of the system.
Jay Seltofner, how do you see the state's marijuana laws, and you know, what do you think needs to be changed most hurriedly, I guess?
Yeah, well, I appreciate what Sheriff Kramer just said. I think it's pretty much the truth, and Eau Claire County takes a different position than other counties. When you're caught with marijuana in Wisconsin, it really depends on who you are, where you're caught, and how much you're caught with. If you look at the actual state statute, state statute says it's illegal. It is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Any amount, first offense, could be a misdemeanor up to 6 months in jail with a maximum fine of $1,000. Subsequent offenses for simple possession could be a felony, up to 3.5 years in jail, up to $10,000 fines. Those are the current laws. They're not always enforced. Like I said, there's local decriminalization measures. 15 of our largest cities have decriminalized simple possession. That roughly is 1.5 to 2 million people in our state. Other counties have taken similar measures. But if you actually look at the state law, it's archaic to basically put somebody in jail for a plant. And the last statistic I have in front of me is from 2016, which obviously is a few years ago. But we still had 16,000 people arrested in Wisconsin for simple possession and 2,000 people arrested for sales. It needs to be changed, especially because we're surrounded by states that have either decriminalized, have medical marijuana, or have recreational cannabis available to Wisconsin
people
who would travel there.
Jay Seltofner, so this, you know, we see this in so many other different aspects of our lives, but sometimes it depends on where you're caught, and as you mentioned, you know, who you are, that's part of this argument, I think, about racial disparities in policing. But do you think that, you know, you've got Eau Claire County, which takes a bit of a more lenient stance, but then maybe rural counties that don't have drug courts, do you see a patchwork, and do you see that as, how is that problematic?
Well, it is very problematic because, A, you do have a patchwork of, if we're just, you know, it's an in-depth conversation whether we're talking about decrim, medical, or recreational. So let's stick more on the decrim measure. But that alone is confusing because we'll have counties that border, for example, Minnesota that has a medical law. Counties that border Illinois that also has a medical law could be a recreational law. So we have a hodgepodge of decriminalization amounts throughout the state with different, I guess, fines and or different possession amounts. It does create a unique situation in Wisconsin. In our rural communities, we approach that kind of systematically during that 16-county referendum to also include, you know, traditionally conservative and or rural areas, which also had shown support during the referendum process. Again, it really depends on who you are and how much you got. Large quantity is still going to be prosecuted.
Sheriff Kramer, you wanted to jump in. I wanted to ask you about, you know, the idea of patchworks where some counties take more of a hardline approach versus what seems to be happening in Eau Claire, where it's more of a just an ordinance, you pay your fine, and that's it.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, wanted to point out to Jay, for law enforcement, the small possession amounts, no big deal. But the people that are asking people that are the seller, they're asking them to commit a felony by selling them small amounts of marijuana. And how do we get over that in this state, that the small amounts are misdemeanor ordinance, but the people that are going to the seller are felons? They're committing a felony. None of these people in our county are going to prison. They're being placed on probation for selling large amounts of marijuana. And I think we've only done one federal case that came out of the state of Washington that was taxed, supposed to be taxed marijuana coming in their state. It was a large-scale sales operation, but we took it federally because they crossed state lines. That was untaxed black market marijuana. So there's a lot of issues, and I love programs like this where we can actually sit down and talk about the problems that we would have in Larry being involved in the legislature. How do we get over those things and make sure that we've got good laws? Because when I talked to the hemp growers, they said, man, we're a little concerned because we're new to this. We don't want to violate the law, nor do we want to have a criminal arrest. So again, we're all waiting for some good answers.
And Larry Konopacki, let me go to you, because when I started looking into the hemp issue, I was surprised that even though, I mean, a lot has changed, I guess the farm bill had some changes in there, but even though hemp cannot get you high, I mean, it's got such a small percentage of marijuana, and under the old farm bill, it was allowed to be grown under a research type situation, and that's what led the state to push for the get the hemp industry going again in Wisconsin. But all the while, DEA still considered it a Schedule I narcotic, right up there with opioids and heroin, didn't it?
So it did, but not anymore.
And what happened? What changed?
So just to as a point of clarification, the state of Wisconsin is still operating under the old version of the 2014 Farm Bill.
Mm.
It is still operating under that because in 2018, just at the end of 2018, a few months ago, the federal farm bill made some changes, which I'll talk about, but those changes are not in effect as of now. So for 2019, the state will still be operating under the pilot program that was made possible in 2014. So in 2018, what changed was a number of people who operate in this area like to say that the farm bill changed nothing. And it changed everything.
Okay.
And the reason why that you would say it changed nothing is for those people who are engaged in this industry and for law enforcement and others, much of what they've come to understand or that we're trying to help people to understand at this point will not change. And if we do our jobs well as policy advocates, the people who are operating in this industry shouldn't feel any difference as we transition into this new system. But it also changed everything. And primarily, to your point, to your question, what was changed is that the federal government delisted low THC cannabis.
Okay.
But took it off the list you just referred to. It took it off the controlled substances schedule and removed it. So that sounds great, and it is. For this industry, but it also and before I get into what challenges still remain, I guess I would say as a matter of state law, our state is required to follow suit, and our Controlled Substances Board at the state level, because we have one at the state level and one at the federal level. Mm-hmm. Our state Controlled Substances Board actually moved to follow suit in January, but we had to ask them to slow down because we need to make some legislative changes to prepare for that transition. Basically, our whole hemp program right now relies on the fact that one of the two Controlled Substances Acts has no exception. So we need to fix that and then allow that change to occur. And then, so in short order here, under both state and federal law, there will be an exception for low THC hemp. So if you think about that, or low THC cannabis, which is hemp. So if you think about that from the law enforcement perspective, that creates significant challenges. And those are the same challenge. I mean, basically the challenges that were in place that were created by last year's restart of the industry aren't fixed by the Farm Bill. Because you're talking about the same plant as marijuana, the same plant. It's just a question of what the component THC levels are in the plant. And so, as the sheriff mentioned in some of his opening comments, it is challenging because there are a lot of people out there who are right now are perfectly legal in what they're doing, but it's very hard to distinguish between the legal activity and the illegal activity. And that, of course, would be solved if Jay's suggestion was taken up by our state and our federal government, and legalization would occur, because then we wouldn't have the challenge of trying to figure out how to draw this line between something that you can't see, test easily, you know, drug-sniffing dogs all strike on hemp just as much as they do on cannabis. Mm. But of course, that's a big policy and political question as to whether within our state we're ready to do that. And at this point, there's strong forces that say no, and there's strong forces that say yes.
Do you have any, I mean, from the layman's perspective, it seems like there's a lot of momentum behind the yes people. Do you see that happening, Larry?
Well, you know, I'm very focused on the low THC cannabis,
right?
And because I'm on this program today on behalf of the WHA, Wisconsin Hemp Alliance has a position that it takes no position on that. I would say that if the interest and enthusiasm is in hemp is any indication, you know, we had 300 some applications for hemp growing and processing in 2018, and that far exceeded expectations, and we're over 2,000 for 2019, and so we're talking about, you know, near exponential growth that is an indication of a very, very significant interest. So I guess what I would say, what I would take from that is that while there are people who fear that crossroads between hemp and psychoactive cannabis forms, whether it be for medical purposes or recreational, I think that the societal view of whether or not that concern sort of stifles enthusiasm and participation in the hemp program, I think that's becoming less and less. Okay. That people are becoming more comfortable with that concern in terms of not driving their decision as to whether to participate. So that's going to create some challenges. It already has, and we're wrestling with those challenges as to how to deal with this. You know, for instance, in the state of Wisconsin, there is a law that says that if you are driving with any detectable mm-hmm. amount of THC in your bloodstream, you are operating while intoxicated. So if you have taken a CBD oil product with a low percentage of THC recently, and you and your blood is tested, you are guilty of operating while intoxicated, even if you have never driven intoxicated. Same would be true for someone who would go to, let's say, another state where you're legal, or another country where sure. it's fully legal to use a THC product with THC. And that could be 3 weeks ago. It stays in your system for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And you drive in Wisconsin and for some reason have your blood tested, you are operating while intoxicated. So there's things like that that we really need to figure out how to balance. There, as with any big paradigm shift in the way that we think about something like this, there's a lot of catch-up that we have to do to get everything aligned to make things work.
With that, let's take our first break. We're talking about Governor Tony Evers' proposal to legalize medical marijuana and decriminalize possession of small amounts of recreational marijuana in his state budget. We're joined by Jace Selthoffner. He is a board member with the Northern Wisconsin chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He joins us by phone. Larry Konopacki is also with us by phone. He represents the Wisconsin Hemp Alliance. And I'm in the studio with Sheriff Ron Kramer. He's the Eau Claire County Sheriff, and which oversees the West Central Wisconsin Drug Task Force. So give us a call. Let us know what you think. 1-800-228-5615. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear a news piece put together by WPR intern Kaylin Schumacher, where she hit the streets in Eau Claire to ask regular folks what they think about all of these proposed changes. So stick with us. This is the West Side on Ideas 88.3 and 88.7.
Wait, don't tell me. Central Time. These programs and many more are possible thanks to listener support. You can learn about WPR programs, schedules, and so much more at WPR.org. Thank you.
If you have experience in leadership and plan giving fundraising, check out Wisconsin Public Radio's Manager of Plan Giving Opportunity at WPR.org/jobs. For best consideration, apply by March 31st.
Welcome back to the West Side. Three guests are with me today for a chat about marijuana laws and the hemp industry in our state. Governor Tony Evers has proposed legalizing medical marijuana and decriminalizing possession of up to 25 grams of recreational marijuana. He's also talking about, in his state budget proposal, expunging some criminal records for those who were caught and arrested with marijuana or for marijuana possession. And this also budget proposal also includes changes to CBD products and how they're regulated in the state. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments. And as I said before the break, we've got a news piece from WPR news intern Kaylin Schumacher. As I mentioned, she went out on the streets of Eau Claire to ask regular folks what they thought about Governor Evers' budget proposal, which includes, of course, the legalization of medical marijuana and decriminalization of recreational small amounts. Here's Kaylin's report.
Evers' proposal would allow individuals to use the drug to treat medical conditions, including cancer, seizures, and anxiety, among other things, with a doctor's permission. Evers argues that increasing access to medical marijuana would reduce the need for opiate prescriptions, combating one of the state's biggest epidemics. Four-year Eau Claire resident Ethan LeFerrier was on board with Evers' proposal.
I think that there are a lot of disabilities that people have that can be treated healthily with usage of cannabis that has a doctor prescription, isn't just like them using it on their own, like they're actually like limiting their usage and that sort of thing.
He says cannabis could be the missing link if taken in moderate amounts.
I'm yet to see any like convincing actual arguments as to any downsides that weed has, except for that some people just use it too much.
University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire sophomore Abby Knoll is also in favor of making medical marijuana legal in Wisconsin, looking to her home state, Minnesota, as a reference.
I'm from Minnesota, so it's legal there in certain extents. So I think it's helpful, especially for like cancer patients and other alternative medicine options. And I don't think there's much of a harm.
Evers' proposal would also decriminalize possession and distribution of 25 grams or less. Eau Claire has already taken similar steps. In November, the city council passed a resolution reducing the fine for possessing small amounts to just $1. Eau Claire community member Rachel Price was excited for the potential statewide change.
I think it'd be beneficial for the community. I think it'd be beneficial for a prison population. I think it'd be beneficial for addicts to be reformed and be able to continue to live their life.
Crime rate would go down.
Yeah, the crime rate would definitely go down.
Many community members, including Price, thought that Wisconsin was slow to the marijuana movement.
I think we're behind on a lot of things, and legalizing medical marijuana as well as recreational marijuana is something that we could pick up the pace on.
LeFerrier agreed as well, pointing to increased economy and potential tax revenues as another reason to legalize pot.
I mean, I would just say you look at the states that have legalized it recreationally and medically, and look at like the economic success that has come from it. I'm sure if the quality of living or level of happiness has probably improved there as well.
Along with changes to marijuana laws, Evers also wants to change rules related to CBD oil, which is derived from cannabis. His proposal would eliminate requirements for a yearly CBD prescription from a doctor, allowing people to buy and use the oil as they please. Across the U.S., only 9 states have legalized recreational marijuana, but more than 30 and the District of Columbia have legalized some sort of medical marijuana. Kaylin Schumacher, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you for that report, Kaylin Schumacher. Let me go first to Jay Seltofner. From what you heard in this report from the person on the street interviews, is it resonate with you? Is it what you're hearing in other parts of Wisconsin, say the northeastern part where you're at?
Yeah, oh, very much so. Like I said, the general population is on our side. That's what we joke sometime in meetings, because we're like, hey, we kind of won the battle if you look at our mission statement, because it's to move public opinion sufficient enough for the legislators to take action. Since I've been involved, they have taken action. There has been medical marijuana, recreational marijuana legislation introduced consecutively for the last decade. Problem is, it hasn't made it through committee. It hasn't been debated, and it has not gone to a floor vote. Most people that I talk to in the legislative process say if it did come to a floor vote, they would vote yes. I've been hearing that for 10 years from some of these people who have been in elected office and held their same seat for 10 years. So I think it's not only time, but it's time to do it right. One of the things that I know is legislative floor time is valuable. Once marijuana reform gets into the wheels of politics and government, which do turn slow, it's going to take up valuable floor time. So that's why it is important to design a law that makes sense, including, like the sheriff mentioned, how do you stop or how do you deal with decriminalization of sales? Well, make sure that your decriminalization law includes distribution, sales, and possession of marijuana of small amounts. Some people consider 25 grams a small amount. I would argue 2.5 ounces makes more sense, especially when that's the amount that you can get in Michigan legally as a Wisconsin resident. And again, it makes sense for us to do it right and to take a comprehensive approach to decrim medical, recreational, develop a program that is comprehensive, you know, but that does allow the basic things that make sense when you talk to the general public. And those things are, when we talk about medical marijuana, it means smoking marijuana. Smoking marijuana that was probably grown in somebody's home by a patient or a caregiver. That's the essentials of a medical marijuana program. So, the general public supports it. Our lawmakers are just behind on the issue.
So if I can just follow up, you know, we talked about patchwork, at least enforcement of the laws, potential patchwork of enforcement of the laws in Wisconsin. What about from state to state? I mean, is Jay Seltofner, is the best way to go about this change at the federal level so we don't even have to have these discussions in Wisconsin?
You know, definitely a change at the federal level is needed also. But if you look at the way the United States was developed, especially on issues like this, legislation would be still unique within each of the 50 states. You know, gun laws aren't the same, drinking laws aren't the same, even nicotine smoking laws aren't the same throughout all of our 50 states out there. So that's kind of like sprinkling magic fairy dust and going to say, let's wait till the federal government to take action. I don't think that is an excuse not to take action, nor you know, a reason to wait. But you do have issues in states that border each other. You're going to have the attorney generals of those states and law enforcement, you know, offering guidance, basically saying, okay, even though Oregon pot isn't legal in Washington and Washington pot isn't legal in Oregon, we both have medical programs, we both have hemp programs, we're not going to prosecute Oregon people if we find Washington pot here, you know.
Gotcha.
So, and to kind of close it off about being, you know, about politics and politics being local in this patchwork of stuff, we're seeing counties and cities starting to even chat about this, saying, should we develop a coalition ourselves to offer some guidance, A, to the states, and then some uniformity throughout the state? For example, city council members and county boards communicating, creating a coalition to possibly change their ordinances when they do change them to all mirror each other. So it makes more sense why we wait for the state legislation to take action.
Sheriff Kramer, I wanted to go with to you on this because you heard a lot of people talking about the medical benefits of it, and we've heard a lot in the news about cancer patients that say can't get an appetite up. You know, this helps with that. What do you tell people like that? I know you've got concerns about it as a medical issue, but you know, what do you tell the people that say, you know, we need it, this is what we've wanted?
Well, one of the things I really look at, Rich, is just doing the research. First and foremost, I think the CBD oil, as long as it doesn't have the psycho effects and it does what that's being said it can do for autism, for pain relief, so forth, we have to look at that. And Larry mentioned, you know, that the small amounts of in the CBD oil, well, even in drunk driving cases that we see, you know, a truck driver can only have 0.02 percent, even if he's off duty. So we've made, since Prohibition, we're still making laws in the state of Wisconsin because people disagree we should toughen the, because of fatals. Colorado's experiencing more people in fatal crashes, in injury accidents under the influence of THC. So again, if you take a look at the Colorado experience, certainly there are some ramifications that come from that. And we want to, Wisconsin, we're brighter than everybody else. The longer it takes us to define and measure this, I think we're going to be better off. But again, you're going to see a fight between CBD oil and legalization of social marijuana, because the fact, if CBD oil does what marijuana, medical marijuana, some of the growers that we've seen using fertilizer and other chemicals in some of their pot growing, they don't know what they're smoking. And does smoking marijuana have carcinogens in, which would be a public health risk? At this point, Florence County has already come out through their human services to oppose the legalization of marijuana in the state of Wisconsin, and they list in their all of the different things socially that they're concerned about.
So does that mean that people, you know, there are risks, and there's a study that's out recently talking about linking high-potency marijuana to psychosis, and there's all kinds of risks, but, you know, if a majority of people want it, at what point does law enforcement have to kind of wring their hands and say, all right, you know, or is that not your job?
Well, I think we can always have input to the conversation. It's up to the legislature to walk it down the best path for Wisconsin and the people of Wisconsin. And we have to, whatever the law is, we have to enforce that law.
We've got a call coming in from Boyd. This is Ernest. Ernest, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I'm against the growing of hemp. We need industrial jobs. We don't, I live out here, I'll just say in Eau Claire County somewhere. They steal from me so they can buy their drugs, okay? But you're better off drinking moderate amount of beer, needs some unsalted peanuts, than you are taking hemp, or marijuana, as they call it. But I told them back in 67, if you don't stop the marijuana, then you're never going to stop the drug problem. Now, as to these, what do you want to call it, these illegal drugs, the really bad ones, they should get off the market, true. Now, painkillers, my dad was injured so bad, he had a choice, morphine or beer. He chose beer. Took him 17 years to die.
What?
Okay?
All right, Vern, we're going to have to cut it there. I want to get to my guests a chance to respond to that. You know, that's as far as, there's all kinds of self-treatment that people go through, but I'm not even sure who to send this one to. Larry, Jay Selthoff.
I can get it. Jay can get it. You know, they used to have a medical exemption during Prohibition to get your alcohol. You know, I needed it for my medical reasons. I got my medical card. So, you know, and like you said, it's people that self-medicate with lots of different things. It doesn't necessarily make it wrong or right. We have the socially acceptance of alcohol, although there's public harm from it. We have social acceptance of nicotine or cigarette products, even though there's public harm from it. If marijuana, and if we look at marijuana in the history of it, it's been used since antiquity. It is the largest prior to legalization. Now that we have 10 states with full legalization, there's a fair majority, if not a majority, of the U.S. population that has access to legal marijuana. But if you look at it as the largest used illicit drug, if there was adverse health side effects from this, including lung cancer from smoking cannabis, it would be clearly evident, and it is not.
We got Larry Konopacki. Go ahead.
You know, I think if we all set our own opinions aside momentarily, I really appreciate the comments that were made by that caller. Because whether we agree or disagree, I think it's fair to say that that call and hundreds and really thousands of other communications we've all had on this issue show that there are people with differing opinions.
Yeah.
And so we can advocate for what we want or what we think is best, from the law enforcement perspective, from the marijuana perspective or the hemp perspective. But what makes it challenging, societally, what makes it challenging is there's people who have different opinions. And I think that I've probably personally spoken with at least 500 people who provided me with comments that were very similar to that last caller. Mm-hmm. There's a mindset. It's not necessarily right or wrong. I'm not going to say that. It's just that when you're talking about catching up, legislators catching up with, you know, overall majority opinion, it doesn't mean that there's not a minority opinion out there that's fairly strong and heartfelt. And so it makes any sort of changes difficult. You know, I remember when Eau Claire County was going through some of its discussions about whether to decriminalize and take the position that it's taken. And that those are hard conversations. Drug courts, you know, of all the things, you know, we heard the sheriff talk about, you know, we don't have a great success rate, but for those for whom it's a success and they get their life back on track, what a great thing.
Yeah.
But I was involved in the legislative process on drug courts years and years ago, and there were a lot of people who were very opposed to that because they felt it was something that would give someone basically a get-out-of-jail-free card and move away from the punishment approach. So we all have different opinions. I think it's just interesting that we're even talking about hemp and CBD in the same context as marijuana, because they come from the same thing. It's like a poppy seed muffin and heroin. You know, they come from the same thing, but you can't separate these things. I think from the hemp industry, we wish you could, but you can't.
Sure. We're going to take our final break here on the west side. We're talking with Ron Kramer. He's the Eau Claire County Sheriff. We're also having on the show, we've got Larry Konopacki. He's with the Wisconsin Hemp Alliance, and Jay Selthoffner of NORML, the Northern Wisconsin chapter. Give us your call if you've got a question or a comment. Let us have it, 1-800-228-5615. We've got a lot still to wrap up before the end of the hour. I doubt that we're going to be able to solve every problem or every question related to this, but we'd love to hear your take. Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. It's the West Side. Let's call the
whole thing off. off? No way! Spring is here and Garden Talk is on. Larry Mueller here, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 and Saturday morning at 6 for Garden Talk. We dig into it all, from tomatoes to tomatoes, potatoes to potatoes, and we never call it off. Get your garden ready this spring with Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Olbrich Botanical Gardens, Rogers Memorial Hospital, and Glassnickel Pizza. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Neff's Pianos in Eau Claire, offering a wide selection of grand and upright pianos. Jeremy and Nancy are dedicated to providing personalized service at their Water Street showroom. Information is at neffspianos.com.
Next hour, Larry Mueller and his guests talk about the intersection of production and energy use. Researchers from Wisconsin Energy Institute share ways that we can shape landscapes to produce healthy food, feed, fiber, and fuel. That's after 11 o'clock this morning on Ideas 88.3 and 88.7. In the meantime, we're talking about Governor Tony Evers' proposal to legalize medical marijuana and to decriminalize recreational marijuana and offer expungement to people who have been convicted in the past. We have the phone lines starting to load up right now. We're short on time, but we'll try to work through those questions as we get them. 1-800-228-5615. I'm joined by Jay Seltofner. He's the a founder and board member of for the Northern Wisconsin chapter of NORML, that is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. We've also got Larry Konopacki of the Wisconsin Hemp Alliance, and Ron Kramer is the Eau Claire County Sheriff joining me in the studio. 1-800-228-5615. There's so much to get through. I'm just trying to figure out how we can wrap this up nice. And
can I do one clarification? This is Larry.
Larry, go for it.
Yeah, the news story that played, you know, I think there's a lot of confusion out there about the legality of CBD product.
Yeah.
And that's largely because we've been learning as we've been making laws in the state about what CBD is and what it isn't, and the laws are really written in a way that are confusing. I think that it's commonly believed to be a clarification of current law as to what changes to CBD laws would be in the governor's budget. Just a simple clarification, not a change. It is legal at this point to possess and obtain CBD through a doctor's prescription. That's the older law. It is also separately legal to possess and obtain CBD through the hemp pilot program, as long as that CBD was derived from a hemp product. So I just wanted to clarify that really the governor's budget wouldn't change the legality. It would, I think, simply clarify.
I appreciate the clarification. So let me, I want to stay with you, Larry Konopacki. We saw, even, was it last year or the year before, when these laws were being changed, there was this law with regard to CBD oil. We've seen three, and then all of a sudden the former attorney general came out and said, well, actually, no, you know, there it's not legal, and that's not the way I read it. But then the lawmakers, he changed his statement within 24 hours, it seemed like, because lawmakers were up in arms. So what's going on with that?
So the law changes you're talking about are successive changes to what I refer to as the old CBD law, called Lydia's Law.
Yes.
And that is what still requires additional clarification, and that's what the governor's budget would do. I give a lot of credit to the former AG, AG Schimmel, and his team. They did come out with an opinion that was we thought wrong, and they responded to input from us and others very quickly. I give them a great deal of credit. It's not always easy in a political world to admit that you want to change your position on something and face the blowback that often comes from that. So I give them a great deal of credit. But the current AG and the former AG are, as far as we know, on the same page with respect to CBD.
Thank you for that. 1-800-228-5615. So let's talk about, you know, I want to talk about expungement. Sheriff Kramer, I'll go to you. The idea that, you know, if this is passed, and Lord knows that's a big if, because the lawmakers, Republicans, have already said it's dead on arrival, a lot of parts of the budget, but they don't like how they're saying they don't like how far and how fast he, Governor Evers is trying to go. But with regard to expungement, would law enforcement have any issues with, you know, if a person had a felony for distribution or whatever, getting expunged? Does that concern you at all?
The only thing that if you brought it on parity with operating well under the influence first offense, and the legislature has wrestled with, should we criminalize first offense drunk driving in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And we're one of the few states that don't. So again, parity on both sides. I actually sat during the hearings during the expungement debate, and it makes a lot of sense. If someone has a minor felony conviction, that they can go before the judge that they were sentenced for and ask for expungement. It's not a guarantee the way that they're writing the bill. Law enforcement, we don't hold grudges. It's one of those things that if the person can put a couple years behind them, 4 or 5 years, and ask for expungement, we don't want it to be a life sentence, whether on a criminal record, because it affects their housing, it affects their job.
Student loans?
Yeah, student loans. So we're not against that, but just parity when you're talking about alcohol, possession of marijuana, and so forth.
So we're actually at the end of the program right now, but I wanted to get, just if you could sum it up, what do you see, any big changes in the future with regard to marijuana and legalization and hemp?
Right now, Josh Call, our attorney general, is writing a position paper because some district attorney said we're not going to prosecute anybody under hemp or marijuana laws until we get a clarification. Hmm. So we're waiting for the legislature, and we'll stand by.
Jay Seltoffner, what about you?
Yeah, changes is coming. It's coming fast. Otherwise, we're going to lose more residents to death and relocation to more friendly states.
Larry Konopacki, what say you?
New legislation should be introduced this week to update, we call it Hemp 2.0, to be bringing us into the next year, the second year, which will already be the second generation of hemp regulation.
With that, thank you so much to my guests. I appreciate us all of your efforts to try to compact a lot of information into 52 minutes. Thank you for all the people that have called in. Larry Konopacki, Ron Kramer, and Jay Seltoffner, I appreciate your time. Tune in next week. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.